All right. Well, good morning. You awake? If you have the tendency to fall asleep during the sermon, which Janet made it clear to me that she didn't suggest it, it was you that laughed and implied it. So I met Alice Bransma in the back. She has some yarn and knitting needles, and so that will keep you busy if you're tempted to fall asleep. She's right there. Go see her. I won't even bother you if you stand up in the middle of preaching. All right. Well, I'm excited about our new series, What Do You Expect? We want to create a sense of anticipation for Christmas, but it's a lot bigger than what we usually anticipate for Christmas. That's what I want us to think about. What are our usual expectations? And then to ask ourselves, but what do you expect? Maybe in this Christmas season you're thinking, well, it's just going to be like every other Christmas. What do you expect? Or maybe you have that childlike expectation of wondering, what do I expect? All of that anticipation. And so we want to question ourselves this Christmas at New Life with that question. What do you expect? Reaching the end of a job interview, a human resources person asked a young engineer fresh out of BCIT, what starting salary were you expecting? Well, the fresh engineer said, something like in the neighborhood of maybe $150,000 a year, depending on, you know, the benefits package. And so the human resources person said, well, the benefits package would be probably like 6 weeks of vacation and all of the stat holidays, of course, and we would pay full medical and dental, 100% coverage benefits, and we would also contribute to your retirement fund up to 50% of your salary. Oh, and we also, every 2 years, lease you a vehicle, and we lease through BMW. And the BCIT engineer said, wow, you got to be kidding. Human resources person said, yeah, but you started it. See, sometimes we expect great things, outrageous things even. Dream big, people say, and so we've come to expect big things. And maybe we expect big things because we have the resources to expect it. Maybe it's just become a way of life for us. You have the means, and you're getting the best of everything, and so you expect the best of everything. Although at other times, sometimes our expectations, we realize that they really don't turn out to be anything that big after all. Our expectations end up being superficial. And so we have to readjust our expectations. Or sometimes in our life, we've started out with expectations, but we've faced so many disappointments that we've just canceled all of our expectations. We've just quit. We no longer have expectations in our lives. We're just making it through. What do you expect? Luke addresses this whole thing about expectation right off the bat in the first chapter of his gospel, Luke chapter 1. We're going to begin reading at verse 5. In the time of Herod, as soon as you hear that word Herod, you think, oh, this is a bad time, because Herod was not well liked. Herod was a cruel king. And so the story begins, in the time of Herod, this is not good. in the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest, oh, that's good, named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron, therefore of the priestly line. These are two upstanding people. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees. So these were obedient people. They were devout people. They followed the instructions all the way back to Moses. When Moses kept repeating, he kept on reminding the people of God, do everything that the Lord your God commands you. That was Zechariah and Elizabeth. They were the perfect couple. They were an amazing couple. Man, this was a couple that we would want at New Life Church. And then, for emphasis, Luke adds, they followed the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. Blamelessly. Like, essentially with perfection. This was an amazing couple. This was the kind of couple that you would say, man, whatever their expectations, it's gonna be fulfilled. This is going to be a successful couple. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. And that changes the whole story. Certainly, no one in that culture would now expect anything more from Zechariah and Elizabeth. Poor Zechariah and Elizabeth. Not only was it a disgrace for a woman not able to conceive, but having children was your retirement fund. And Elizabeth and Zechariah were already very old, and they had no retirement fund. Nothing. Zip. Nada. This is a pretty disappointing situation, which leaves you without any expectations. This is done. It's over. And the story doesn't just refer to Zechariah and Elizabeth. Luke includes this story because he wants the people of Israel, he wants God's people to think of themselves as Zechariah and Elizabeth. The last time the people of God had heard from God himself was almost a half century earlier with Malachi, the last prophet in Israel, the last prophet in the Old Testament. Malachi, it's the last book. Malachi wrote somewhere around in 430 BC, so just under a half century before. And that was it. People of God didn't expect to hear from God anymore. God must have abandoned them. He must have left them alone after the people of Israel had been disobedient and God cast them out of the land. He sent them into exile under the rule of first the Assyrians and then the Babylonians and then the Medes and the Persians. And then Cyrus became emperor, and Cyrus sent all of the people back into the land. And there was great excitement, great expectation, because they were moving back into the land, but things were never the same again. What do you expect? And perhaps this isn't just a story about Zechariah and Elizabeth, and maybe it's not even just a story of the people of Israel, but maybe this is your story. Maybe this is our story. To question our expectation, whether we even have any or not, any expectations. Maybe in your own life things haven't gone right with your kids or with your spouse or with your parents. Maybe your expectations in school don't measure up. Or maybe your expectations for a career haven't panned out. Or maybe expectations for getting ahead in life haven't materialized, and you try, but you just don't get where you expected to be. What do you expect? Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside, just how it's supposed to be, just how it has been all these years. Zechariah is performing his duties. He's doing what's expected of him. He's not objecting. He's just carrying on. He's doing his thing. Zechariah and Elizabeth had learned not to expect much anymore. They were still faithful. I mean, it wasn't like they were acting out or anything. They did all the right things. It wasn't that Zechariah was doing anything wrong. In fact, he was doing everything right. He had just learned that over the years, you can't expect much. Except that then Zechariah suddenly, in this particular time, because there were 24 divisions of priests scattered throughout Israel. So that meant there were a lot of priests. Not everybody could serve in the temple in Jerusalem. And so among the 24 divisions of priests, 1 week, twice a year, a particular division would go to Jerusalem and serve at the temple. And because there were so many priests, then once in your lifetime as a priest, you would be chosen by lot to do this special task of burning the incense. I don't know why it was such a big deal. And perhaps maybe even Luke is suggesting that on the one hand, because Zechariah wasn't expecting much, if this was Zechariah's big expectation to be able to burn the incense, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, big deal. Really? Is that all Zechariah expected out of life? And yet, on the other hand, in the midst of this story, imagine Zechariah being appointed in this particular time. It makes you begin to think that, maybe there is something to hope for. Maybe there is something that I can begin to expect again because I've been specially chosen. What would you do? Sometimes, in the midst of our disappointments in life, we stop expecting. And sometimes we just settle into the routines of life. It's not like we're doing anything wrong. It's, in fact, we're doing everything right. But we're not expecting much of anything. Sometimes we just let go of all of the expectations in our lives. All of those early dreams, we're like, yeah, whatever. We settle for life at the lowest level, and nothing seems exciting again. Although what I suspect is that most of the time, most of us surrender our expectations simply to the society around us, and we chase after all kinds of things that everybody else expects out of life that we know full well will never really satisfy us, and yet that's what we settle for. Life gets miserable that way. When you expect little more than to survive, when you just hold on to what you already have and go, what do I expect? You know what that is? You know what that is when you hold so tightly to what you already have that you cannot expect anything more, that you cannot allow anything else to enter into your life? You know what that is when you just hold on to your life as tightly as you can so that you don't lose anything more? That's idolatry. You clench so tightly to what you already have that nothing else can happen. Nothing else can enter into your life. Nothing unexpected can happen. When living becomes just doing your job, when living becomes just making your kids behave so they don't embarrass you, that's idolatry. You make an idol out of your own life and you say, nothing else can happen. My life is the only thing I need to protect as long as I make it through. To merely follow the routines so you don't have to think about disappointments, so that you don't have to confront the pain in your life of past disappointments, or when you don't have to face the shame anymore because I don't expect anything anyways. In other words, the question here is, how will you be alive in front of the people that matter to you the most? How will you be alive to your family? How will you be alive to your church? How will you be alive to the God who has made you? What do you expect? Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him, Zechariah, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He's never to take wine or fermented drink," it's a Nazarite vow, just like Samson had done earlier in the Old Testament, "never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit." Now that is something, because this is before Acts, when Pentecost came and the Spirit was poured out on everybody. But now the angel is promising Zechariah, your son, you're going to have a son, and that son will have the Holy Spirit upon him. That was just beyond expectation, even before he is born. And he will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. What more could a priest expect? And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and in the power of Elijah. Elijah was the greatest prophet that Israel had ever known. Elijah was the prophet epitome of the end times. He was the prophet that was to restore all that was good about Israel. He will go on before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Expect great things, Zechariah. Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years." And the angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." What do you expect? A teacher in New York was about to retire from teaching. It was her last year. She was ready to just be done with it. Except that the district superintendent was short of teachers the following year, especially for one school with a very troubling high-risk class. That class had all kinds of kids in it with behavior problems, discipline problems, and the like. And so the district superintendent approached that teacher who was ready to retire and convinced her to teach one more year at that school with that class. He gave her all of the paperwork describing the class. She walked into the classroom and declared to her kids, "Look, kids, I know that we have some discipline problems here, but you kids, you are geniuses. And in this class, you're going to perform at that level." And they did. They did. They scored at the top of their grade level, and at the end of the year, when the teacher was called on to accept an award from the State Commissioner of Education for a job well done, he couldn't help himself but ask, how did you bring these kids to this level? She quite matter-of-factly said, "Well, I was given a list of their names, their IQ levels, and I knew it was a genius class, and so all I had to do was teach them like the geniuses they were." And suddenly the commissioner had this straight-laced kind of look on his face, somewhat of panic and somewhat of a stunned look, and mostly just a look of embarrassment. He said, "Ma'am, those numbers that we gave you weren't IQ numbers. They were locker numbers." Yet, if someone comes who can give us reason for great expectations, if someone comes who can give us real hope, if someone comes and we're not left with emptiness and futility, well then, what do you expect? And that's the whole point of the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth. When God does act, Zechariah can't believe it. It simply wasn't what he expected anymore, because he had no expectation. All the religious rituals pointed to God and his power to save, but Zechariah no longer expected God to act. You and I are the same kind of people. And we're a people who sit here with the expectation to be saved. We aren't just waiting around for nothing. We're not just waiting around for hopefully another wonderful celebration. No, we're waiting to be saved. We're waiting for God to act. And quite frankly, it's going to catch us up short. Because like Zechariah, we have to admit, confess, that most of the time we don't really expect God to act in such a spectacular, unbelievable, gracious way. And so Zechariah is struck dumb. And in reading the story objectively, we look at Zechariah and go, "See, Zechariah, you should have believed. Now God has to punish you because you didn't believe, so now you can't talk." And we think, "Oh, come on, God, let's go easy on Zechariah." But maybe God striking Zechariah dumb wasn't really a punishment at all. Maybe it was more like God saying to Zechariah, "Look, Zechariah, I've been silent for nearly half a century. And now it's your turn." Because when you're made to be silent for a while, it helps you to reflect on what you expect. And so perhaps, maybe at the very start of the Christmas season, on the first Sunday of Advent, maybe we ought to make a commitment to each other to say, you know what? Of all the expectations I have this Christmas, I expect that I will take some time just to be silent, to reflect. Sometimes even in the hardest times of my life, in a life characterized by speaking, it's just when I've been able to shut up for a minute. That I've been able to grab hold of some expectation again. When I forget about myself and all of the worries that I have pent up within me, and I expect God to change somebody else's heart, not mine. Maybe not my worries, not my circumstances, but to expect God to change somebody else's heart, that's when my hope returns. That's when I can begin to expect God to act again. When I forget about getting ahead in life and stop worrying about when I retire, will I have enough? And instead, when I expect God to provide for someone else's needs through me, that is when I can smile again with a sense of anticipation and to rub my hands together and say, I wonder what else God can do. When my expectations are placed in God, not in my circumstances, not in my life per se, but in God, that's when I feel like I'm really moving ahead. And it doesn't have to be anything outrageous. It doesn't have to be anything spectacular. It doesn't have to be anything great. Someone asked a friend, "How are you?" And the friend replied, "I'm waiting." See, for years, that person had known periods of depression, and she also knew from experience that with the help of a wise physician and with the love of her family and the support of her friends, the depression would pass. And it was with a sense of sureness that she said, "I'm waiting." Nothing spectacular, but surely an expectation. Her waiting was the expression of hope, the denial of despair, the recognition that God will act in her life. Even in that kind of waiting, of essentially doing nothing, we can expect God to act. What do you expect? Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak to them. And they realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. And when his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion, her time of silence. "And the Lord has done this for me," she said. You can only imagine how she expressed that. "The Lord has done this for me. God has acted in my life," she said. "In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." And Elizabeth had learned to expect again. Zechariah and Elizabeth, a couple who began with all of the expectation to be the most successful couple in the world, reduced to nothing except that by faith, Elizabeth learns to expect again because God had acted. That's what it means to live by faith. Elizabeth is the example of faithful expectation. When God acts, she humbly receives him at his word. And Mary too. The next story that Luke is going to tell is of how the angel comes to Mary. And Mary receives Elizabeth, who visits her. And Elizabeth says to Mary, "Blessed is she," that is Mary, "blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." We say we believe in the promises of God, but do we expect God to act in our lives, in your life, in my life? I'm learning to expect God to act in my life. I expect him to make my life holy because I know I can't do it myself. I expect that God will shape things in my life, maybe even painful things, because he wants me to be righteous like Zechariah and Elizabeth. I'm learning to expect that God will change lives through ministry here at New Life. That it's not enough just to crank out sermons and messages that you say, "Hey, I stayed awake in that one." It's not enough just to have a few programs going on here. I'm learning to expect that God will act so that people can know a place like New Life is a place of refuge. Not just another church in Abbotsford. I'm learning to expect that God will save people through you and through me. That's what he's up to. And God will act. I've just had to learn to live up to those expectations. What do you expect? I wonder what you expect when Sunday after Sunday you come to church. You sit there in the very same spot that you always do. What do you expect? What do you expect when you faithfully do your devotions before breakfast and after? What do you expect? What do you expect when you pray to God and you have your regular times of prayer and you say, "I did my devotions, all of the right things"? What do you expect? What do you expect when you profess your faith? "Yeah, I believe in Jesus." What do you expect when you come to church and say, "Oh, it's going to be Christmas soon"? What do you expect? It's a busy time of year. There's a lot going on probably in your life just like in mine. There's a lot of things to schedule. There's a lot that we've got to arrange. There's a lot that we've got to get done. There's parties and there's presents and there's the excitement of children. But what do you expect? Expect God to act this Christmas so that your eyes are open, maybe in new ways, maybe in fresh ways, maybe in revived ways. Maybe it's a time of healing. Maybe it's a time of restoration. Maybe it's a time of regaining your breath. Maybe it's a moment of silence. When you really hear God's voice again for the first time, maybe it's the enemy of sin in your relationship with God being destroyed. Expect God to act. This is Advent, the season of expectation. Christmas is coming. God is coming. God is here. Expect him to act. Let's pray together. Father, there is indeed a sense of excitement that we have in this Christmas season. We recognize pretty easily that it's a season of expectation. Surely we want this to be the best Christmas ever, but we hoped for that last year, and it was the same as every other year. And so we stopped expecting, God, in our lives too. We confess that we're just hanging on to the usual because it's good enough, and it's actually pretty good. But we also confess, God, that when we dared to take an honest look at ourselves, we've been expecting things that really don't fulfill your promises. We've been expecting things that don't even fulfill us. And so forgive us for our idolatry. Forgive us, God, for our complacency. Forgive us, God, for our expectation that as long as I do everything right, as long as I stay in line, it's going to be good enough. And then, God, burn in our hearts an expectation for you to act in our lives. Not even just in this Christmas season, but in the weeks and the months and in the years ahead, God, help us to live our lives in daring, bold ways of expecting you to act in a world surrounded by terror and fear and violence. God, give us the confidence to live in the hope that Christ will come again to restore all things to himself. And with that expectation, God, help us to live in joy. Help us to live in confidence. Help us to live in the full expectation that you, Lord, you, God, reign over everything. Our lives, our families, our nation, and our world. God, we give you thanks that you have all things in your hands. Help us to live in that knowledge. Help us to live in that expectation that you, God, will restore all things to yourself. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Would you stand?